All right, Scout Florida fans, that's right. We're back here live from the studio. We got your boy co-host here, Kelsey Dudley, and your co-host, Tony Sands. And we're bringing it to you live this week here, baby. We want to get down to the nitty-gritty. We're about at mid-season here, Tony, and we really want to talk about this local high school sports is getting hot and heated and some of these hot topics that we got going on out there in sports. What you think?
I'm telling you, man, we've been traveling all over South Florida, visiting different schools, talking to different coaches, talking to different players, getting their perspective on how their season's going. We're going to go later in the show, and we're going to speak to Quan Gwynn, a linebacker from Deerfield Beach High School, and get his perspective on what it's going to take to turn his high school program back around. A lot of people speak about this young man when it comes to the talent level that's still at Deerfield Beach High School. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the hype hour with our great topic. We love these topics because we get these topics from you, the fans, when we're out and we're traveling about. You guys want to know this. So we figure, guess what? We'll bring it to you.
Hey, Tony, and I got some ladies that are from last week's topic, as we get into that topic time, that still have, you know, a couple of things to say about what, you know, what was said last week. They love the topics, Tony.
I mean, if they feel free to call. I mean, let us know whatever's on their mind. I mean, we may be talking about one topic, but if there's a topic that we done touched or something that you want us to touch, hey, you feel free to call and let us know what's on your mind. So that way, guess what? We can try to answer. But if we don't get the question, we're going to come back to it. But it's going to get answered at some point in time in the show.
That's right, because we're going to give you the dirt. We're going to give it to you live. We're going to give it to you raw and uncut, baby. So you're on the right show. You are tuned in to the right station. All you got to do is call in and let us hear your word. That's right. We want to hear from you. Don't be shy. Call in number on line one is 530-413-4515. Or you can also phone in at 415-287-0074. Don't be shy, callers. Call in. Okay, let's get into some of these local games that it would not be our best not to start with Miami. We would have to start with Dade County football. And Dade County football at its best put together two top teams in South Florida. That's the Miami Central Rockets against the Northwestern Bulls. And it was a show last Friday night, Tony.
It was a bomb burner from start to finish. From the time we walked into the stadium with the bands playing, competing against each other at that point, to the time they kicked the ball off, it was exciting. I was excited to be a part of this rivalry between these two schools because I felt something in this was going to change the ties in Dade County. Dade County tends to change ties as the seasons and as the years go on. You know, Northwestern dominated Dade County for about 3 years.
Correct.
Central went and did their research and said, you know what? Hey, we got to do what Miami Central, that Miami Northwestern is doing. We may have to go out and hire some people to get that done. And they went out and they went out and brought in Coach Lockett. And brung in his attitude, and he went, hey, and did his homework, and he bought players. And that pretty much started that thing to where we say, hey, we're the king of Miami.
And players did he bring, because they are loaded from quarterback to receivers to defense. And getting off the bus, as we said to ourselves, you know, being down there at sideline level, we're looking at the two teams there, and just looking at Central's players, folks, they look the part. So when you're looking at players that are huge in size and have the talent and speed level that a Miami Central has, you gotta think to yourself, like, man, how can we get it done? But I gotta give it to Northwestern. They were scrappy.
They played. I mean, they this is a rivalry. So one thing about a rivalry, you know, guess what? You throw everything out the window. You throw records out the window. You throw stats out the window. Hey, this is going to be a game to where all that doesn't matter. What matters is bragging rights in the community. And that's what happened. Central, you know, when you talk to people, Central is probably supposed to blow Northwestern out. When you look at the two teams and you look at the size of the team and you look at the athletes that Miami Central had, you say, okay, guess what? This game is going to be a blowout. We was talking to scouts on the sideline and talking to recruiting people, and they said, guess what? I'm going to leave this game because this game is going to be a blowout. But we said, guess what? Scott Florida stand on. We're going to stay here because we know this is going to be a bomb burner, and it's going to be a bomb burner all the way down to the last second, and that's what happened.
And it was the best. It was the best show that was put on. I mean, even us riding back from the game, we must have asked ourselves, what, 5, 6, 7 times, wow, what a game. And it was just a game all the way through, and with two quarterbacks of that caliber in Rakeem Cato for Central and Teddy Bridgewater for Northwestern. I mean, man, an aerial show they put on. They had to have at least between the both of them maybe 30 completions. They threw the ball 50-something times, and there was no interceptions. Both kids had zero interceptions. Amazing.
And that's amazing when you're saying the ball has been put up in the air that many times by two quarterbacks of that caliber. You know, you expect that a turnover possibly could have turned the tides in that game, but both quarterbacks played smart. And I love the way both of them handled the pressure that game brought. That game brought a lot of pressure. When I say pressure, I mean, this place was packed 15,000. 15,000 people. You know it's going to bring a lot of people into play. So when you look at it, you're saying to yourself, wow, it's going to be a turnover that decided this game. And it wasn't. The turnovers wasn't decided that what decided the game. It was who wanted it the baddest. And who was, yep. And it almost came down to who had the football last.
You're right.
I mean, as they drove down, you know, Central, here we are in going into the fourth quarter. Central takes the ball. They drive down. They hand it to their super running back, Devontae Freeman. He's smashing. I mean, they're smashing them all the way down the field. Then all of a sudden, guess what? They go to the playmaker, C.J. Gaines. C.J. Gaines gives a touchdown. This thing started getting crazy. This score, I think, flip-flopped about four times. They flip-flopped on them four times until the last final score, and the ball wind up in Mr. Bridgewater's hand. And it was up to him to decide, hey, am I going to help my team win this? Am I going to be able to bring – and everyone in the stands were holding their breath because they knew each quarterback had the ability to take their team down and win. And
right.
When you talk about Teddy Bridgewater, because at one time, me and Kelsey said to ourselves, wait a minute, hold on. They done gave Mr. Bridgewater the ball
too much time
on the clock, a minute and 15 seconds. That's a lot of time when you're talking about that you're driving 80 yards because they got the ball on the kickoff at the 20. And you're talking about they're driving this football, and as they're going, uh-oh, Bridgewater broke out. Oh, he breaks out the scramble. He scrambles, run out of bounds at about the 50-yard line. Now, here we go. Uh-oh, what happens? You could hear on the Central side a pin. You could have dropped a penny, and it would have echoed throughout the stands at FIU Stadium because everybody were on their – they was on their feet saying, wow, this could be it. Could this be the turning tide for Central State's claim or – Northwestern shows little brother that, hey, guess what? I'm going to let you play in this game a little bit. But once I get tired, I'm going to send you back to mama, and I'm going to let mama tell you that is your big brother. Central wanted to dispel all that. They said, guess what? We're the big brothers now. You're the little brothers, and we're going to put you in your place.
And they did. That they did. Central was able to pull out a victory 25-22, and the key thing with this, and all the fans out there should know that, guess what, fans? These two teams have to face off again, and they will face off again in the first round of the playoffs. So you must, if you miss the first battle, you need to be there for the second battle. You know Scott Florida's going to be there. So fans, I'm telling you, stay tuned for that. Both teams will continue to win. Pretty much believe that. and they will meet again. So that's going to be a big thing there coming up. Going to Broward now, we had a matchup for two top teams in Broward, that being Bort Anderson High School and Dillard High School. And Bort Anderson was able to pull out a victory, very close, but still they were able to pull it out. What do you think kind of turned the tides in this one here, Tony? You have Dillard and you got BA, both rivals, both in the same district, only a three-team district now. What was the key thing in that game that kind of boosted BA up there to get out of there with a victory?
I as we talked about in the Miami Central Northwestern game, we talked about turnovers could possibly be the turning point in that game. When we look at it, Dillard turned the ball over in Bort Anderson's territory on the 20. A couple plays later, Tindall takes the ball in to get a score. Now here we are, 13-7. And that could be, to me, one of the turning points that came out of that game. I think when you're playing a game like that, you always must understand that turnovers and penalties, and that was another rivalry because they only sit about 2 miles apart from each other. When you're talking about distance, you're talking about kids that have played with each other in Little League, kids that's in the same community. So bragging rights came into effect. So the penalties in that, you must throw them out. Mistakes you can't have in those kind of games, or they'll get you beat. And I think that's what happened in that game. But I think Dillard's going to rebound back this week here when they play Glade Central.
And they face a tough team in Glade Central. Glade Central is undefeated right now, bringing down one of the top receivers in Florida, in Kevin Benjamin. And they'll have their hands full again, fans. The game will be a tough game for Dillard, but it's going to be a battle. Both of those are two teams with pride. Like I said, Glade Central is undefeated, coming off of some big games out of state that they were able to win and had no problems with. So they're going to travel. We know Glade Central travels, and their fans will be over here early and tailgating and pretty ready to go, huh?
And you got to figure right before I got on the air, you know, my dad called me. He was like, what's the coach name? And I told him Coach Martin. He had to call his buddy over in Belgrade and told him, hey, the coach name is Coach Martin. The guy, his buddy told him, God, man, I'm hating. I can't make this game. So I used to always say, guess what? The sheriff is the last one to leave the town. He locked the gate. He even tell the bums, guess what? You got to sit on the other side of the gate until we come back. But right now, we got to travel for a game. And I'm quite sure that's what's going to happen. They'll probably be here Friday camping out in Dillard's parking lot. I would say about 11 o'clock tailgating, because this is going to be a game, not only a battle on the field, but it'll be also a battle of the bands, because you're talking about two historical black schools in their respective communities. So it's going to be a game from start to finish. 27th Avenue is going to be jam-packed. So if you got to travel up 27th Avenue to go to work, you best to go on either 21st or 31st, because 27th Avenue, I doubt you'll be able to get down.
Won't be open. It won't be open, I'm telling you. And BA faces off against Deerfield Beach. And BA, you know, they're trying to keep things rolling and bounce back from the St. Thomas debacle that was troubling them. So they'll try to take it to Deerfield Beach and see if they can continue going. Now, fans out there, we have with us online one of Deerfield Beach's top linebackers on the team, and Quan Gwynn. Let's go to him right now. Quan, are you out there?
Yes, sir. What's up?
How you doing there, Mr. Gwynn? Welcome on to the Scout Florida Show.
What's up, Tony Sands?
What's happening, man?
Hey, we want to thank you for coming on our show here, Scout Florida Show, and let's just get right into it. We know right now that Deerfield is a little down. You're starting out your season a little slow here. Haven't had a victory yet. How do you guys look to turn things around against BA this week?
We're just going to come out and play butt football. You know, we haven't won a game yet, but you know, we're still battling. We have, this coaching change. We, got, We got rid of a couple of coaches and brought a new one in, you know, so we're going to just go out there and play our butt football.
Quinn, hi, this is Tony Sands. I'm trying to understand, like you said, you guys had a coaching change, and I understand how that goes when you're in the process of making a coaching change, and all of a sudden now, here we go, we're putting in a new scheme, because I'm quite sure, if I'm not mistaken, you guys went from running the wing T with Coach Art Taylor to now you're running a spread offense, and I'm quite sure you got wing T players, folks, and all of a sudden now you get a spread offense. The players even sometimes, you recruit different players for different schemes. And do you see that as been a part of why you guys have had a slow start?
Yes, it's a big difference coming from a run team to a straight pass team. It's not totally difficult. It's not too hard, but it's a big change.
So you're saying with a big win against Deerfield, and I know I'm quite sure with the kind of community that Deerfield is, and they're used to winning. They're used to winning big. They're used to knowing before the season starts that they will win their district hands down. And I know there's some grumbling going on in Deerfield. So you feel like if you guys get a win here against Boyd Anderson, that this can possibly get you guys' season back on the right track?
Oh, yeah, of course. No question. If we beat Boyd Anderson, that's just a start. We're going to go on and play Terravella, hopefully knock them out, and hopefully thanks to these juggernauts, St. Thomas, and go ahead and knock them out too, because we have a great team. We just all need to get on the same page and be on the same level and go out there and play.
Is it a young team?
Yes, sir. We have like three or four returning seniors from last year, me and a couple of my guys. But it's totally sophomores, and we have a couple of freshmen on the team that we're going out there playing with. That's with this new offense. And they're pretty good. We got some good athletes on our team.
Because I see you guys played, you played a close game this last week. You guys just lost by a touchdown. Give me some idea of how that game went also.
It was totally a defensive game. The first drive, they drove it to down about the 15-yard line. We came out. We were sticking. And they scored on a miscommunication play. They scored on the back out of the backfield, and that was the only time they scored. And after that, got a fumble recovery, and we were just playing defense. We just need an offense to put up some points.
So you feel, being that you guys played that game so close, do you feel like, okay, hey, guess what? This wheel is starting to turn, and we see things that can possibly get us back in this district race is starting to take place?
Yes, sir. I feel we have a good chance of being runner-up or hopefully district champs if Douglas can knock off Northeast, and then we go to a shootout.
So you guys feel like you guys are still in this thing. You just got to get it turned around and get it turned around fast.
Yes, sir. Once we get that taste of blood, I don't think it's going to be no turning back after that.
Now Quan, this is Kelsey with the Scout Florida Show. We're here with Quan Gwynn from Deerfield Beach High School. Now, Quan, I'm friends with some of the coaches there on the staff. What exactly are some of the coaching changes that you guys have had?
First of all, we have a total defensive coordinator. I quarterback when Art Taylor was at Coach Manning Martin. He went to Dillard, so we just changed that. We switched from a 4-4 to a 3-3-5. So that's the biggest change we have on defense.
Okay, and are there any changes on the offense that are going on right now?
Yes, we took a couple of athletes from the defense and switched them over to the offensive side because they're just playmakers.
Okay, so you guys are moving players around and putting them in the right spot so you can make plays.
Right.
All right,
that's
sounds
basically
good.
All we have to do is put playmakers in a chance, get in the best position to make plays, and we'll be better off.
Okay, sounds good. We hope you the best this week, this Friday night against Boyd Anderson High School. Hope it starts your turnaround there for your district and everything for your season. And tell the fellas and the coaches, don't give up. Keep going at it. And we congratulate you for coming on to the show. Hope you keep listening.
Thanks, Coach. You know.
All right, keep it going. All right, folks out there. Get yourselves out when you go to this game. Keep an eye on Mr. Quan Gwynn at the linebacker position. This kid is taking it by storm. He's one of those captains over there. So, Mr. Gwynn, hey, it was nice having you on, and I'll hit you up later. Coach. All right.
All right. Y'all keep going. Sensation of Tony at one time for that boy, one Kelson. Y'all be easy out there.
All right, buddy.
All right.
And Scout Florida fans, it's very important for our listeners out there to understand that we try to make sure that we're getting you that information out there. And that's big to find out about Deerfield and the changes, because their booster program is one of the top booster programs and alumni in Broward County. So when there's something that's not right in Deerfield, then there's something that's not right, and some people are going to hear about it, Tony.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you hear about this booster thing all around the county. I mean, you hear, oh, this school got a big booster, this school got this. But when you talk about Deerfield, that is a true following to where that community gets behind that team. And that's hats off to that community that they're able to do that, because a lot of communities talk about it. But Deerfield makes sure that they do something about it. And I'm quite sure, as I stated, that they're not happy with what's going on, and they're probably telling the guys, hey, you got to get it in gear. You got to shape it up, because this program here was a winning program. They knew when they stepped on the field, guess what? District was ours. And then we're looking at playoffs because we knew that we would win the district.
And that's what they're struggling with right now. Used to being at the top and just going through some adversity right now that they'll need to push through. Like we said, we have the topics coming up. And fans, I'm telling you, you know, stay tuned for these hot topics, and definitely call in the Scout Florida fans, Tony, your fans, my fans. I don't want them to be shy this week. I do not want them to be shy. I need them to call in. I need to get down and dirty, nitty gritty, because we got some great topics this week, and we need to hear from them.
And I'm telling you, the topic that we have, guys, it touches when it comes to coaches, parents, people that are just as spectators there. This topic has been hot because it's starting to take a move. And when it comes to this, I mean, because we got to get control of it, because it's getting too far out of hand. I don't want to give you too much on it, because I want to leave you in suspense of what we're talking about. But that's just going to be enough for you to feed off of, because as I tell you, when you hear the topic, and you listen to, you're going to get opportunity to hear a coach that's saying things that's making it tough to coach. It's making it tough to coach in this day and era. And people don't understand, when you talk about this youth league stuff, because that's where we're going, it is something that the coaches, to me, they pay to do this.
Right.
They have to pay to be a coach. And then, I don't want to get too far into it. I really don't, because I feel I'm starting to get jitters here talking about it. But I'm going to let, as we go on, one of the coaches will tell you about it. But, folks, I'm telling you, this is a hot topic. A hot topic, because I'm going to tell you about some things going on around the country with it.
And call us. Here's the numbers for you to call in. 530-413-4515. Again, that's 530-413-4515. Or you can also call 415-287-0074. Okay? 0074. All right. We got a couple of matchup games this week in Broward and Dade that we want to get to here before we go into a commercial break. In Dade, we have the Northwestern Bulls facing off against the Columbus High School Explorers. Columbus High School is coming in 5-0, and we have the Northwestern Bulls, Tony Sands, that is coming in at 4-1, and this seems to be your upset special. What do you got?
This is my upset. This is my upset when it comes to Dade County. The reason why I say this, I'm going to tell you, I think Northwestern put everything they had into that game against Central. I looked at those kids' eyes, and it looked like it took everything that they had to control their emotions. And that's why I'm saying Columbus is coming in here. Hey, guess what? We have nothing to lose. Nothing, but everything to gain. We're going to throw everything at the West. And at that point, once we've thrown everything at the West, I think they're going to come out victorious. I don't think the West is going to look to take them. I think the West is still have their mind on, guess what? We got to play Central again in the playoffs. And I think that's where their mind is. I don't see them being right now in Columbus because this here is too new, that loss. The one thing about Central has a week off to figure out, hey, guess what? Let's get that one there behind us, and let's get the one that's coming up forward. Let's get that's in front of us. So I'm telling you, that's my upset.
That's your upset. Okay. If that's your upset, let's take it back a little bit to Broward, and let's go south on 27th, because we know on the north end of 27th, we got Dillard Panthers facing off against Glade Central, so that end will be packed. Let's go a little bit south on 27th Avenue to the other big dog, who is the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders, and they will be facing off against the Miramar High School Patriots, the defending 6A champs at Miramar. Upset special, not so fast, my friend. I got Miramar, and let me tell you why. This is why. I believe that this team is going to rebound from the loss they took against Hallandale.
Won't happen.
They're going to show that they are a championship team and have championship qualities, and they're going to take St. Thomas out into Miramar. It will be crowded out there. They will have they have some type of grills that they got set up around the stadium where they blow the grills up facing the stadium, so the smoke comes up the grills and comes onto the stadium.
Won't happen.
And makes it real foggy and all that. Home field advantage. I got Miramar in the upset, closer than the experts think, but I got Miramar in the upset. They will pull it out by a field goal. Miramar over St. Thomas.
And the sad part about this, folks, he believed that. How could you phantom?
What do you mean?
Miramar beating St. Thomas. You got to be kidding me. When Miramar had its best teams, the best, because I don't feel like this is one of their best teams. I really don't. I don't see it as being their best team. I don't think they're even performing up to their level, because I think there's no level for them. I think they just got a bunch of guys, and they're going off the success they had last year because they were state champs. They haven't played a full game yet, and it won't happen this time. They always, in the back of their mind, they know, guess what? This is St. Thomas. Soon as St. Thomas score, guess what they're going to say, folks? Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go in this. And we understand that we're going to lose. The two differences between the programs is, one, know they're going to win when they step on the field. The other one, hope and pray that they're going to win. And that's the difference. That's why I'm telling you, I don't see this being an upset. I really see it as it has been in the past, close in the first half, blow it out in the second. I still see it happening. Because by the time Miramar cranks up, and we know they only crank up in the fourth quarter, and by the time that happens, the game will be too far out of reach. They won't be able to come back. I know they like that wild spread attack, but it won't happen.
Well, what do we say? What do we say? What does your mama always tell you? Baby, pray for the things that you want, and your prayers will be answered. Well, if they got to pray, they're going to be praying, and I think their prayers are going to be answered that night. I'm telling you, that's my upset special pick. Let's stand by it. I'm telling you, fans.
And I'm telling you, that would not happen. So I don't have to even worry about it. I don't know why we even, to me, he picked this as an upset. That's his game. I don't see how he could even do that. How you go against a team that's ranked number two in the nation, not in Broward County, not in South Florida, but number two in the nation, have traveled on the road and have knocked off teams that are better than Miramar. Miramar will not have a chance at all. They will not have a chance at all in this. I'm saying St. Thomas is going to blow them out. They're ready. Those receivers over there are not going to let those DBs control. It won't happen.
Okay, fans, stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. You heard upset. That's our upset picks for this week. Stay tuned as we'll come back from commercial with the hot topic in the open forum for all our callers out there to call in, and let's get down and dirty on this thing and get down to the nitty gritty and give me the dirt. Let's take it away to commercial. We'll be back in 2 and 2, baby.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B. If you have a need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport. Just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Fans at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
All right, fans, we're back with the Scout Florida show. Any commercials that you want to call in with, any commercial that you have for Scout Florida, you want to get your business out there and get everything pumped up, contact us at scoutflorida.com or getsensational.com for all your commercial needs. Let's get to the hot topic. Tony Sands, what you got for the hot topic this week, baby?
As I traveled around, and I woke up on a Monday morning, I'm going to tell you, and it brought something to my mind as I heard about a situation that happened over in Orlando, okay? Over in Orlando, because it's always been a topic, because we started this show off with something similar to this. A lady at a youth league football game goes on the field, jumps on another mother, beat her so bad to where she had to be hospitalized for about 4 or 5 days. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. First of all, you got kids out here. You got kids watching. You got your kids watching. What are you teaching a child when you go out on the field in front of everybody and you beat another person senseless? I'm talking to myself. I'm saying, man, something's got to go on. Something's happening out here to where this thing is getting crazy. So that's why the topic is, have little league parents lost their mind? Because I think they have. Not only in Orlando, but I hear just here in Pompano, a mother. Now, and understand this. And understand where a kid is at in this, folks. You got to understand this. Now, listen to me. A mother tells her child, guess what? Go on the field. Coach got the kid sitting on the bench. You go on the field, and I mean get on the field right now. Now, she's across the bench, kids on the bench. Go on the field and go play any position you want to. They ain't going to stop you. So now get your butt on the field. Now, imagine where this kid is, because he's telling his coach is telling him, you know, you're on the bench. You're not playing right now. And the mother's telling him, you get on the field. That's got to be a tug of war that you don't ever put a kid in. I think if you have that issue, after that game is over, you talk to that kid, you talk to that organization, you tell them, guess what? I'm not satisfied with what just took place. Either figure out a way to give me my money back, or you get my kid on the field. And that's what's got to happen. These parents getting on the field fighting. These parents, I mean, this is crazy. I can't fathom it. Not only that, along with the betting and all that kind of stuff that's going on, Little League football is not fun anymore. I don't see how it's fun. I don't see how it could be fun when you got those type of situations going on, Kelsey. I mean, I don't understand. I'm glad my child is out of that arena.
And I like I said, and we were speaking on it before, I was like, I'm taking my kid to the other league. And I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. We're going to the other league because I don't have time for putting my young kid around it for the things that are going to go on and the things that are going to happen. I don't have time to put my kid around that. And with the fighting and then the as we alluded to before in previous shows, the betting that takes place and the bounties that are put on players' heads because of there's money involved, it's getting out of hand at an early age, and it's starting to become a major, major problem in our inner city youth leagues to the point where you as a parent have to decide, is this the best thing for my kid, or should I just go ahead and pay the $200 to $300 just to take my kid and put him into a better league? Because that's what it's coming to. These inner city leagues, yes, are lower amounts that you have to pay to get your kid started. But you have to hear these things that are going on in these inner city youth leagues, where opposed to the out west youth leagues, you don't have this going on. Yes, you have to pay more money, but is it worth it? Do you look to that? I mean, I would. I would as a parent, I would look to that.
And when you're out at these games and you're hearing this, I mean, they're calling the coaches, you're stupid. Play it. You play my son, you're stupid. You should have ran this play. And I'm saying, guess what? The kids are hearing this. So now you're calling this kid coach stupid. You're calling this kid coach stupid. How does that feel to where the kids say, you know what? Heck, I don't want to listen to this coach. My dad or my mom called this coach stupid. Or they're calling out the other coach, and they're just making it an environment that I don't think is a healthy environment for anyone, coaches or youth league players. I don't see this as being a fun environment to be in. I've said it, and I've been saying it. I think that's what I got out of coaching Little League for. Not by my son. I got out of coaching because, guess what? I could not stand the environment that was going on. We got an opportunity to get one of the coaches on, and that's a part of the South Florida Youth Football League. And I'm going to ask him some questions about how tough it is to coach youth league football now. Has it changed? We got an opportunity to get Coach Khalid on. Coach Khalid has won championship after championship. He runs a great organization when it comes to coaching young men. And I'm going to ask, Khalid, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're on Scout Florida Radio with me, Tony Sands, and my co-host, also Kelsey Dudley. We're going to ask you a couple questions. Khalid, let the people know where you coach at.
I coach at the Deerfield Packer Atlas in Deerfield Beach, Florida.
How long you been coaching?
I've been coaching since 2001.
Let the folks know, you know, how many championships, because I think that'll tell a lot about a coach when you talk about the number of championships and the number of divisional championships that a coach, you know, wins.
Well, I have a couple of divisional championships, but I have one Super Bowl championship in 2003 as a head offensive coordinator, and I have a Super Bowl championship for 2005 as the head coach of the 155-pound team.
And let some of the people know just name a few of some of the kids that you have had the pleasure to coach.
I have a pleasure to coach. I had a coach in 2004, one of the awesome collegiate players right now who's getting a lot of, you know, press coverage is Denard Robinson. I was able to coach him in 2004 for a little while. I coached Adrian Whitty, who was at Cincinnati. He's at a D1 college. And I coached also Cassius McDowell. And both of these youth are at D1 colleges right now. And I have a couple of number of youth at D2s and so forth colleges doing very, very well.
So, guys, you hear this resume. And when I thought about this, and I said, I got to get a coach on. Khalid was the first coach that came to my mind. And I know a lot of coaches from the coaching rank, but he was a guy that I said, you know, I got to get this from Coach Khalid. I know he would give me and give us what we're looking for. Khalid, explain how has the coaching diameters changed in youth league football?
I think a lot of the kids in little league football now, they're more sensitive. I mean, as far as you have to really watch what you say to them and how you say it. Because a lot of the kids, you know, they really have a real, real bad attitude. And if you put any type of pressure on them, try to get them to be better or go to the next level, a lot of kids will beat you getting mad when that is going on. And I don't see as much heart as far as commitment to the game about a lot of the youth that we try to coach today. I don't see that at all.
But now I'm going to ask you this now. Do you think that is a product of what? I mean, is it a product of something that this system has turned to, or is it a product of something that the parents have started to where they're getting too involved and it's taken away that drive that the kids used to have at one time?
I think it's a mixture of both, because a lot of the kids are protected. You know, if they're not protected by the system, meaning that, you know, the system doesn't really want you to discipline them in the home, and, you know, the system don't want you to talk a certain way to a kid and so forth. And then, you know, the parents, you know, themselves, you know, when they're out on the field and they observe a coach, you know, may say to a kid, you know, excuse my language, hey, that was a good-ass tackle. But, you know, the parents are not, you know, focusing on what the coach said. They are focused on what the coach said, but they're focused on one particular word, and that was the word ass. And they go off from there. You know, it's not like the coach is belittling the kid. He just said, that was a good-ass tackle. You know, or he's excited about a play, and the parent heard the coach cuss, you know, or use a level of profanity, and that's where all, you know, the foolishness goes on from there. Oh, he cussed my child. He this my child. He that my child. And then it becomes a problem, because now the kid is like a little baby. You know, you have a mother and a father, and when the mother comes home, you know, the baby hasn't been whining since the mother wasn't there. But as soon as the mother comes home, all of a sudden the baby is whining. It's the same thing with the football coach. You know, as long as that parent or that mother is out there and she's, you know, like looking over her child and the coach says the wrong thing, the child goes to whining and here comes the mother. Oh, why you said this to my child? Or why you said that to my child? And then you have a big problem.
Do you think that's made coaching at the youth level? And I told people earlier in the show, understand this now. You guys don't get paid. You guys have to pay to be a coach.
Now, yes, that's true.
And that's true, right?
Yes, that's true.
Now, so with that being stated, do you...
You're breaking up.
With that being stated, do you feel that you guys should have to put up with a lot of the abuse that comes from the parents?
I don't think we should have to put up with any abuse that comes from the parent, nor the youth. And I don't think any youth should have to put up with any abuse that comes from any coach. If you have a coach out there that's verbally or mentally abusing a kid, then that shouldn't be a coach. I mean, you shouldn't be in a position to where you are dehumanizing a kid or belittling a kid. You shouldn't do that in no way, shape, or form, because coaching is a psychology to coaching. I mean, you have kids that will remember what that coach taught them 30, 40 years from now. And when they get in a competitive situation, a lot of things they're going to revert back to is what they were taught in sports, because that coach makes an indelible impression upon that child. So, you know, I don't think any coach should be out disrespecting or belittling a kid in any kind of way. No one should be disrespected, the parent, the coach, nor the kid.
Okay, and Khalid, this is Kelsey with the Scout Florida show here. As a coach, and I see coaching as being a fraternity, whether, like you say, you have to pay for it, or the high school coaches get just a little bit of money as peanuts for what they're having to do and wearing many hats at their level and being there for the kids. It's a fraternity. So while you're out there coaching, Do you feel that because all these things are going on with the parents and they're able to get access to the field and they're affecting kids going out there at times when the coaches told them no, they don't want them out there for that play or no, they're not allowed to play during this point in time, do you feel that that alters your coaching and your coaching strategies for getting things done out there on the field when it's a big game?
Yes, it does. It does alter that because, you know, when you get a kid a directive like that, you're also trying to initiate a form of discipline. Because football cannot, good football, quality football, cannot be played without discipline. So if you have something in place to where you don't want that particular kid on the field at that particular time, and the kid goes on the field or does what he wants to do within your organization, then that's going to cause a lot of disruption on your field. You're going to lose discipline. And if you can't have discipline, good discipline, you can't win.
Now, have you had any parents that have either kind of tried to berate you or enter the field on a decision that you maybe have made for your team?
Not in particular, because I try to build a relationship with the parent and the kid, and I feel like if you have a good solid relationship, you know, with the parent and with the kid, and let the parent know exactly where you're coming from, you set your tone early. Then, you know, you don't really have to deal with as much, you know, foolishness as that. But, you know, you're going to have those weekend parents come out and they want to sideline coach and so forth. You're going to have that in any level of sports. But that's the most I ever have to deal with. Well, you don't know, you didn't call the right play or you didn't do this or you didn't do that because everybody's a weekend coach. So, you know,
now,
that's the most I have ever dealt with it.
Now, do you feel, and I'm trying to see this because I see more moms getting involved in this thing probably more serious than dads. What do you think you get the most headaches from, probably dealing with the mothers or dealing with the fathers?
In my sport, there's not too many fathers that's actually present. It's very rare that you would get a father out, you know, that's encouraging the kid to participate in sports. I mean, he's around, but he's not around that much. The mom, every mom wants to see their child shine, but at the same time, you have to really watch what you say to that kid because they'll go home and they'll tell their mother, and then their mother will come back out and she has this to say and that to say, and then it's a whole heated debate. One thing that I have learned is I did have a situation in 2007, I think it was. I had a kid on my team who was acting out, doing this and doing that. I didn't go to the parent myself. I brought the parent to my team. And I let the kid's peers tell the parent what he's doing. Because she felt like I was picking on her child. So I said, well, I'm not going to tell you myself what the kid is doing. I'm going to let the peers tell you what he's doing. And his peers told the parent exactly what he was doing. And she couldn't say anything.
Wow.
Because the kids are going to tell if you're putting out 100% because they know.
Yeah, because kids are not going to lie at this age. They're going to tell it just like it is. If the coach is picking on the kid, they're going to tell him, hey, yeah, he's picking on him. Yeah, coach picking on him. I'm telling you, I saw it. This is what he did.
Yeah.
This is how he did it. They're going to do it because they don't know any different but to tell the truth. Only reason
they're
going to
tell
lie.
It. They told the parents just what the kid was doing, and the kid sat there, and he had to admit just what he was doing. And I told her, I said, and I know she was a protective parent, and I said to her, I said, I don't want you to think I was picking on your child, but this is what your child does. But one of the main problems that I have, you know, the parents will come out here and they'll hear a coach say a cuss word, you know, and it may not even be a cuss word that's belittling a child. And I'm not authorizing cursing at a child. I'm not authorizing that at all. Don't get me mistaken. But a coach may say a cuss word, good damn play, good damn hit, and it'll go from there. But these same parents, when these kids go to high school, I have heard high school coaches call kids son of bitches, motherfuckers, sorry son, all this. And that same parent that was cussing out that little league coach or tried to get him through off the team or went off on him in all kind of ways, shapes, and forms would not say anything to that high school coach. And 9 times out of 10, the high school coach was white.
Would not open her mouth. Do you feel like because they paid money, they have the right to tell coaches what to do?
Because who's paid money?
Because the parents feel like they paid $150 or whatever they pay, do you feel like they feel, okay, that gives me right to tell you that you got to play my child?
Some parents, I may think feel that way because they may say, well, I paid for my child to be out here to play, so he's going to play. And then, but the parent is not sitting in practice watching that child. A lot of times we're babysitting authority. You know, we babysit for the parent to go here, to go there. A lot of times we're that. And the kid is not doing anything in practice. If I put the kid in the game, he gets hurt. Now that falls back on me.
And you got to
put a kid in a game that doesn't know how to play a game.
I can understand that, Coach. So, Coach, I'm going to ask you this question. Is coaching fun now versus back then? Where did you have the most fun at as a coach? Are you still having
fun? I had the most fun in 2005 because I had those kids in 2003. They matured, and when they came up in 2005, these were kids that were very, very respectful. I had built a rapport with. And we made the game fun. We made practice intense, but we made the game fun. I didn't have kids to curse me out. I didn't have kids to curse back at me. I didn't have kids that I had to curse. I had kids that knew they had my respect from the beginning, my respect as an adult. And then, in turn, I earned their respect as children. And I still have great relationships with these kids today.
At what age do you feel at youth league football that's the most disrespect as they get older or as they're younger? I mean, where do you think the most, you know, you got guys that are playing little league football, some that are supposed to be in high school, and do you feel like there's any consequences that may say, hey, you know what? So what, Coach? I ain't got to listen to you. I'm in high school. You can't tell me what to do.
A lot of kids do that. A lot of the kids on the older pound, which is our big 160 pounds, a lot of kids do that because most of them are paid. You know, most of them get a little something for coming out here. Hey, don't go to high school. Come play another year of little league football. You know, and the coach, a lot of coaches are not really interested in teaching the kids really too much because they feel like the kid is already a superstar, so there's not too much I can teach him. I just want him on my team so I can win. So, you know, come to my team and we study it out and I win a Super Bowl. Not you win a Super Bowl. I win a Super Bowl. Because at the end of the season, that's not really going to be calling your name. They're going to be really calling the coach's name. And the coach can sit back and say, I won that Super Bowl. Well, you should have won. You had a studied out team. You paid half of your team. You should have won.
So you feel once they hit ninth grade, do you feel like they should go straight, that they should play high school, or should they remain in the league?
It depends if the kid is ready. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you have a kid that's, you know, weighing 100 pounds. And he's a good kid, but is he ready for high school level? No. No, I don't think he's ready for high school level. I think he can probably, you know, go another year on the 140 or the 165. You know, that's what I think, because a lot of the JV programs on this level are not really effective. Not really effective at all. You know, that's just from what I've seen. And my thing is, okay, if a kid has to maintain a 2.0 to play high school football, why can't you as a coach set the standard of, in order for you to play on my team, you got to maintain the 2.0 too. Why can't you check the grades? Why can't you set the bar that high at 135-pound level or 170-pound level or an 80-pound level? Why can't you start setting the bar high then?
And I agree there. I agree there, Khalid. With that, you should be able to set standards as a coach. And as I said, with it being a fraternity and you are feeling some type of responsibility in the kids that you're passing on even to other levels higher than yours, and as they'll move on in their life as young men, they will also need those standards to be given out to them. So that is a great thing that you're doing, and I commend you, and I say don't stop doing that, even though maybe you have some out there that may do it a different way. And they're not doing it exactly the way that they should. You know, you still stick to your guns and you know, get your kids ready the way that you know how to. Those championships speak for themselves.
Yes. I mean, every coach has his own style. But my thing is, if the style is effective and is getting through to the kid and is making the kid better, then, hey, I'm all for that. You know, I won't stand by for a coach to you know, belittle or, you know, berate any kid. I don't care what coach it is, because we're dealing with children, especially a lot of children that we deal with already have a low self-esteem. You know, put yourself in a position as a coach to build that up. you know, make these kids effective. Make them think, you know, challenge them to think. You know, football is a thinking game. It's just not, you know, getting the ball and running up the field and so forth. No, it's a thinking game. Encourage them to think and be disciplined. You know, encourage them to be winners from the beginning. You know, good sportsmanship and things of that nature.
Okay, and I want to thank you for joining us, Khalid. This was a great conversation. Great information that you gave us. And who you guys have this week coming up?
We have a very, very tough team, not Broad Raiders. Very, very talented team. You know, very, very rowdy team. Very rowdy team. And that's what we play this weekend. And hopefully, you know, we're going to go in there and we're going to try to, you know, bump heads with them and make the best team come out on top.
Okay, and we want to wish you luck with the game you have coming up this week. Thank you for joining us. It's been great. We want to ask that you keep on listening to the show because we would love for you to call in and give us some more feedback as we move from week to week on these different topics.
Okay, one more thing. I also coached another kid. He's at Kansas. His name is Deshaun Sands. coached that kid there, and you can ask Scott Licks about that kid in 2003. When we was down 20-6, and this kid ran his cut back and took it down to the 1 yard line. So he's doing his thing up there in Kansas now. So that's another D1 kid.
Your pedigree speaks for itself. And that's why, like, I would tell any parent that's out here listening that's in this South Florida area, because we have listeners, Khalid, all over the world. Parents that are in the South Florida, I would tell you, if Khalid is coaching, that's who you send your child to. Your child's going to not only learn how to be a great football player, but your child's going to learn how to be a great person, a great human being. Those are the qualities that Coach Khalid possesses, and that's why his pedigree is all around the country. And when you
appreciate that, Mr. Sands. Thank you.
No problem. No problem at all, man. It was nice having you on. Like I told you, you was the first person that came to my mind when I thought about this topic and I thought I needed to get a coach on. I said, guess what? Let me call my buddy Coach Khalid, because I know he's going to let me have it. He's going to talk about it. He's going to tell it just like it is. So it was a pleasure having you on the show.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Sands. And come out and help me with my offensive line when you get a chance.
I will do that. I will do that. Take it easy.
Okay. Y'all have a nice day.
You too.
All right.
And with these situations with the young coaches and these youth league players, Tony, it's getting hard for parents really to decipher what's good, what's bad, what situation can my kid flourish in, or what situation can my kid not flourish in. And that's something that you have to really sit down as a parent and think about, whereas when we played Little League or Youth League football, it was like, okay, sign up and just grab your equipment and go play.
It's not like that, because as you heard Coach Khalid, you know, elaborate on some about this money thing. And that was a topic that I brought up on first or the second show, is that how this thing has evolved because of this money. These kids are knowing that, hey, you can pay me, but now guess what? Being that I'm being paid, I call the shots. I tell the coach what to do, because some guy's paying me. If the coach is not paying me, 9 times out of 10, guess what? I run the team because you paying me. If I decide not to show up, I know, guess what? You don't win. So that's power when you're putting that kind of power in the hands of 10, 12, 13-year-old young men. And I'll say it again. You don't put that kind of power in the hands of a young man, because it destroys them. It destroys them as they get ready to go on to the college level or the high school level. They're already corrupted, and it destroys them. I said today. But now to switch gears a little bit, Kelsey, because we got a lot of feedback also from the show that we did when we talked about the women and the athletes. People talk about, hey, you got to bring that topic back up when they said women and athletes. So I'm telling you, we got to hit on that. I'm going to hit on it right quick. We're going to touch on it, and then we're going to end this show with a great song. But I tell you, folks, you best to do your research, and you better figure out, women, why this is happening. Because if you don't, you're going to be left behind, because it is going on. These brothers are, guess what, getting this money. And guess what? The more money zeros I have, as I told you, the less I want to put up with.
And alluding to that, you're right. Hey, these guys are getting paid these big bucks. You see it as, and it's a stigma that's already there. Let's just be honest. It's a stigma that's already there amongst our minority women, in that the hassle and all of the stress is there. When you're making this money, and I'm making zeros, and I got zeros on top of zeros added on top of my dollars, and you know, I'm making big time money, and I can do a lot of things. I don't want the hassle. I want less stress. I want somebody to work with me, have my back, but work with me and go along with the way things are. So yeah, you have a lot of athletes, pro athletes, college athletes, that are choosing most of the white women that are going with these athletes, you know, and like we said, they've been coached up from home. And I spoke to some of my friends on this, last week, and they even said, they didn't believe and wanted to go with it, but hey, the white, women are more coached up. They maybe started from with their parents, and then the minority women maybe don't start until late, but that's how late it is. So, we want to thank you for joining us, on these topics. Fans out there, hope you had a great time and loved the show. We had two great hosts on, and, we are looking forward to next week. We got some big games going on next week, so make sure you join us. Tony Sands, take us out.
Peace. Sitting nice and now, and these money hungry hoes trying to price me now, and my people getting dough when